The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show, the start of the new week, the dawn of a new era. You just heard Aaron mention in his newscast the two deadly shootings in Parkland. I'm also going to talk to a man who was shot and survived in Parkland after having been shot in the mouth by a would-be armed robber. We're going to hear his story coming up right after the bottom of the hour news here. So, been a rough weekend down in Pierce County. Hope you had a fantastic weekend, man. Father's Day was all I could have dreamed and hoped for. Had all the girls here and just playing games and having fun, barbecuing. So hope you had a great, great weekend launching you into this week. And let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
So I'll start with that story I was just talking about. A guy down in Parkland was taking his daughter to preschool on Friday morning. And that's when a man who appeared homeless came out of nowhere and accosted the man in the truck. He was holding an AR-style rifle, and he said he wanted all of his money, all of his valuables. And the man in the truck, his name's Matthew Phillips. That's who we're going to talk to at the bottom of the hour. Matthew said the guy leaned in because his wallet was in the center console, and Matthew was going to give him the wallet. But the guy was afraid he was reaching for a gun. So he goes, no, I'll get it. So the robber leans in to the center console, and Matthew starts wrestling with him for the gun. And he gets it away from the guy. And that's when Matthew put the car in reverse, his truck in reverse, and was going to get the heck out of there because his daughter is in her car seat. He was taking her to daycare, preschool. And that's when the would-be robber pulls out another gun and starts firing shots into his car. One of them hit Matthew in the mouth. And he has lived to tell about it. He talked to Cairo 7 about this, and he said, wrestling with an armed robber.
But you know what? I'd do it again in a heartbeat to protect my daughter, because that's all there is to it, is for her. Anything.
And he says the man also pointed the rifle in his daughter's direction.
And as soon as I took this corner, he came out from the back of this RV and was holding a rifle to the back window, which is where my daughter was sitting.
But when Matthew wrestled one gun away, the guy pulled out another.
And by the time I had it in gear, he was in front of me. He told me to stop. I put it in reverse. He fired at the truck. Three rounds. One hit me in... I took one to the mouth.
One to the mouth. And the way you can get shot in the mouth and survive it, I'm going to wait until we talk to him to let Matthew explain how that happened. Matthew's sister also talked about what happened to her brother.
We got married in February, and he was the flower girl in Vegas. That's my brothers and my relationship. And if I would have lost him, a chunk of me would have went with him.
And he will elaborate on what happened to him.
The bullet came and hit me in the face, and I knew that I had been hit, but there was no, okay, I need to do something now. All I could think of was my daughter. You're not getting up. You're not taking this gun.
Pierce County Sheriff's deputies rolled up. The neighbors heard the commotion outside. Sheriff deputies rolled out. And there is another layer to this story that you have to hear to believe. But like I said, I'm going to save that for 12:30, but... he says that the cops did a fantastic job.
And to have somebody rush and come help me when I needed it, that was awesome. Kevin, he's a good guy. I'm very thankful for the Pierce County Sheriff's Department. It's okay. And I'm very thankful that my daughter is still here.
On Father's Day weekend, Matthew... and protecting his own life, protecting his daughter, was able to fight off this would-be gunman. But like I said, there are a couple extra layers to this story that I'm going to save for the conversation with Matthew that we're going to have at about 12:32 this afternoon. But do not miss it, because it is an even crazier story than what you may have heard elsewhere. So we'll have that coming up right after the bottom of the hour news here on the Dory Monson Show. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
This is not an unbelievable story because we hear this sort of garbage on a regular basis. Jason Rantz has a story posted at MyNorthwest.com about a music teacher in the North Shore School District, Bothell. Now, the North Shore School District is, last week, they announced that kids will no longer fail any classes. The lowest grade they will give any kid, no matter how slovenly the effort, no matter how little the kid puts forth, the lowest grade they're going to give in the North Shore School District is a D. So they're going to be able to move every kid through with a diploma, whether they've learned anything or not. Now, why in the world would districts like North Shore, and there are lots of other school districts around here that are doing the same thing, well, they can boast that they have an incredibly high graduation rate then, because you can graduate and still be a stark, raving moron. You don't have to have learned anything. So why? Why have our schools fallen so far that they're afraid to even give failing grades? Because so many kids are actually failing. So what's happened to our schools? Well, stuff like this has happened in Jason's story at My Northwest. So a music teacher in Bothell, Adam Bacot, or Bacot, B-A-C-O-T. He teaches music at an elementary school in the North Shore School District, Jason reports, Lockwood Elementary. And he informed parents of an upcoming lesson in music class. It's going to feature two of my all-time favorite musical artists.
When I think of those East End lights, muggy nights, the curtains drawn in the little room downstairs.
Elton John will be one of the featured artists in this music class. That's cool. Elton John's wonderful. You know who, if I had to pick one artist that I wish I had seen perform live, and I will never have that chance.
Stop me, cause I'm having a good time, having a good time.
I'm a shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity. I'm a racing car.
Oh, I wish I'd seen Freddie Mercury as the front man for Queen. What an absolutely dynamic performer. So let's get back to Bothell now. This music teacher is featuring the music of Elton John and Freddie Mercury in his class. Now, clearly, I would have no problem with that because they are two of the all-time greatest musical artists of all time. But this teacher, in a letter that he sent to parents, he said that he's teaching the music of Elton John and Freddie Mercury to, quote, bring awareness to the fact that they are gay and that not being heteronormative is okay. Okay, yeah, I don't mind mentioning that. I don't know why that matters in a music class. And it is another example of how they're going to get away. A music teacher is supposed to be teaching music and maybe music appreciation. I didn't learn how to listen to songs until quite recently. And I've actually studied this rather extensively the last several years now, where I try to pick out all the individual instruments and the harmonic vocals and everything in a song. And I never did that before. It was always just a, you know, wonderful jumble of music. But, I wish he was teaching kids how to listen to music. But no, he's going to bring awareness to the fact that they are gay. But here's where the story gets truly bizarre. He's told parents that if they want to have their child opt out of the class that's focusing on Elton John and Freddie Mercury being gay, that they are allowed to opt out. But he has threatened those children and their families, if they do opt out, there will be social consequences. He said, and again, I quote, that he's going to focus on a lot of non-music related materials. Okay, music teacher probably should focus on music. I know, radical thought. If I say a music teacher should focus on music, I'm sure the people say that's hetero or homophobic. Not heterophobic. It's homophobic. Focusing on music in a music class? Bigot! But here's what he said, and I do quote, "I will keep my discussions age-appropriate by focusing on these points. Some families have two moms or dads. People should be able to love whoever they want. People who are not heteronormative have been treated unfairly, and that's not right. Everyone should be proud of who they are." Okay. All those things are true. And while I would rather if a music teacher was not focusing on that stuff, I don't think I'd have a serious complaint or be talking about it on my radio show. But then the teacher writes to the parents, "If these points are contrary to your beliefs that you and your family teach, please instruct your child to quietly excuse themselves and go to another teacher's music portable until the discussion is over." Okay, again, everything in this, I have no complaint. And a couple of disagreements, but not enough to do on the radio. Music, Elton John, Freddie Mercury, they're both gay. Yeah, they are. People should love whoever they want. I agree with that. But if a parent decides to opt out, and their child goes to another music portable until the discussion is over, the teacher at Bothell's Lockwood Elementary School says that the child will be ostracized by the other children if they do that. Quoting from the letter to parents, "I would also recommend that you prepare your child to answer the inevitable questions that other students may have about why they left. Our students are curious, compassionate, and inclusive, so they may wonder," he warned. And the parent who forwarded that to Jason said, "Well, there's clearly a veiled threat to keep your kids in this class." It's also saying that if your family, your family values don't want that being taught in an elementary school music class, you're a bigot. And your child will face questions from the other kids. I thought schools were trying to get away from bullying. Sounds like we have some teachers who promote the concept of bullying. And as Jason wrote, this teacher is clearly telling everybody what a hero he is for his positions. Gay people are props for him to use to present himself as evolved on an issue. It's embarrassing, self-righteous gaslighting at its most transparent. And that's why, Jason wrote, "I wouldn't trust him to lead a lesson plan on this subject." So the teacher, the school district spokesperson, didn't respond to any inquiries on this. But you want to know why the North Shore School District and others got to push through kids who can't read and write, who can't do basic arithmetic? You know why? Because they're spending so much time on this, on their social justice causes, and about threatening kids if parents want them out of a gay-themed music lesson in elementary school, that the kids will probably be bullied by their classmates. This is why you have so many people around the country, like in Florida, where they said, "Hey, how about we not teach gender theory and all these other things to just kindergarten through third grade? Let's let kids be kids." I talked to a dad up in Bellingham last week, and he said, "We just want to preserve a little bit of innocence still for our second graders. We don't need them talking about transgender issues and in this music classroom out in Bothell, gay-themed issues in a music class. You can mention that Freddie Mercury and Elton John are gay. That's no secret. And as I said, they are clearly two of the greatest artists of all time. Yes, these teachers who use gay people as their props to show how enlightened they are, it's disgusting. It's just nothing short of disgusting. And it's yet another reason, one of many, why our schools are failing our kids so desperately these days. And by the way, along with Freddie Mercury, the other performer, other singer, more than any other that I wish I'd seen, Sammy Davis Jr. Oh, what a live show he put on. Okay, there you have it. Threats to your elementary school kids in the schools. People getting shot in the face. Just another weekend here in the Puget Sound area. That is your Big Lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We do have an amazing story to share. The guy who was shot in the mouth. How do you even survive that? And the struggle that ensued. The details are going to blow your mind. I will talk to him next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, what a way for one local father to go into Father's Day weekend. We have been talking for so long now about how crime has spread completely out of control throughout this region. Pierce County, of course, very high on that list. And something happened down in Parkland on Friday morning that is yet another example of how out of control things are. It could have been a lot worse. As it is, it's pretty darn bad. The victim in the story is Matthew Phillips, and he joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Matthew, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Yep, I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Okay, you're going to have to walk me through this, Matthew. So you were on your way to take your daughter to daycare on Friday morning, and tell me what happened out of nowhere then.
As I got into my truck and got her into the vehicle, I had just barely turned the corner out from my house, and I got greeted by a man with a rifle to my passenger door. He persisted on telling me to stop. I stopped the vehicle. He ran around to my driver's side of the vehicle and started yelling at me, "Give me your wallet. I want the truck. I want the wallet. I want everything." And I kept telling him, I turned around and told him, "Hey, man, this isn't the way to go. I can help you." He kept saying, "I'm homeless. I'm homeless. Nobody's going to help me." I said, "Man, what do you need? A shower? You need food? Whatever, you know." And I got my daughter in the car, man. I just kept saying, "My daughter's in the car. My daughter's in the car. This is not a good idea."
Right.
And he persisted to keep telling me to hand him my wallet. So I went to reach for my wallet, and he told me, "No, don't touch," because it was in my center console. And as I did that, he said, "I'll grab it." So he reached over in front of me with the rifle, and that's when I overtook him.
Do you start wrestling with him for control of the rifle? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
You must have sized him up. So what kind of guy was he? How big a guy was he? How big a guy are you, Matthew?
I am 5'11", almost 300 pounds.
Okay.
My dad was ex-military. I've also been, you know, I mean, obviously my dad showed me some things. This gentleman was very young. He looked like he may have been on drugs.
Sure.
Maybe he looked a little high. He was maybe 5'5", 5'6", okay, maybe 120 pounds.
So he looked like somebody you could overpower. So explain what happened. So you're wrestling for the gun, and then how do things continue to go sideways?
So as I finally got control of the gun, I pulled it away from him. My wallet and stuff had hit the ground. My money, you know, all that stuff was on the ground at this point. I put the rifle in the passenger side of my truck, face down. My daughter's in the back seat still, buckled in. I reached down to grab my wallet, you know, everything that fell out, the cash, all that. And as I got up and scooped everything, I put it back in. I put the truck in gear to leave, to get out of there.
Yeah.
And before I could, the man had came back and he had a pistol pointed at the truck. I don't know where the pistol came from. He must have had it on him, you know, another weapon. I then put the truck in reverse. As I put it in reverse, he fired.
As I understand, he fired three shots and they were directed right at you through the windshield. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Three shots. One hit the hood, another one hit the bottom of the window, and then the top one hit the window, then my dash, and then hit me in the mouth.
Okay. And so and I can hear just a little bit the effects of being shot in the mouth. You got some stitches in your tongue, and it also blew out a bunch of your teeth. Is that right?
Yes, sir. They actually pulled the whole bullet out of my tongue.
So the bullet? The bullet was lodged in your tongue?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. And, I mean, it's white hot, too, when it goes in there. Doesn't that burn you, too?
Oh, yeah. It burned and left a chunk out of there. And, oh, yeah, missing teeth and a piece of my lip, too, to go with it.
So, Matthew, what is going through your mind? Because this is an unimaginable situation for most people. You know, we all hope and pray we don't go through something like this. But in the moment, your adrenaline's flowing, no doubt, because of the wrestle for that first rifle. And then you get shot in the mouth. What in the world? Can you describe what's going through your heart and your soul at that moment?
You know, most of it was I had to make sure my three-year-old was safe.
You're just a dad. That's exactly what I would have guessed. You are a dad in that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to make sure that she was going to be okay. He wasn't going to be able to take off with the truck no matter what happened to me. You know, he did run up to the vehicle after he had shot me. I had put it in park. He came up to the window to finish off basically what he was doing, you know, robbing me. I then decided to take the pistol from him. I grabbed it. I yanked it out of his hands. It fell to the ground, and me and him got in a wrestling match.
Okay, so you've taken away his first rifle. You've now subdued this guy with a second gun. And then this is like a, you know, one of those movies where it never ends. You think it's about to end, but it just keeps going on. The guy had a 17-year-old girl in his vehicle with him, right?
He didn't have a vehicle.
Oh, they were on foot.
They were on foot.
Okay.
Yeah, turns out they're my neighbors.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you got the guy pinned on the ground, and then what happens with the 17-year-old girl? And this, I believe, after police even arrived, right?
I had no idea where she came from. She came out of nowhere. She had at some point gotten into my truck on the passenger side and grabbed the rifle and had it at her feet at this point. And I go, you know, and I've got him pinned. And of course I've thrown a few punches and, you know, he's bleeding pretty bad. I've got him pinned on the ground and she's yelling, get off of him, get off of him. And I said, he's not going anywhere. He shot me. He shot me. I'm not, you know, he's not going anywhere.
And so the police were able to talk her down?
So after I had been telling her that, a guy, I guess one of my neighbors, his name is Kevin. I had never met him before. He is apparently a medic. Well, I had no idea. I had this guy just ran him up, you know, yelling, hey, you know, what can I do to help? And I said, I've been shot. I said, grab the rifle. It's on the ground in front of her. And he grabbed the gun and disappeared and took off with it to get it away from her. Well, the whole time she had the pistol in her sweatshirt pocket. the one that me and him had, you know, lost.
Yeah.
When I had disarmed him. Well, she was holding it, and she had it in her pocket, and at any time she could have shot me. Any time. She could have pulled it out. He was telling her to shoot me. I guess her name's Victoria is what I remember correctly. Okay. Victoria, shoot him, shoot him, shoot him. And she just kept telling me, I can't or get off of him. And then that's when police arrived. The officer, the first one that showed up in front of us, had gotten out of the truck or out of his car. And I looked at him and said, she has a gun. She has a gun. She has a gun. And he pointed at the gun and told her, show him your hands. Show me your hands. And she pointed the gun at the police officer. The police officer told her to drop the weapon, and she did comply pretty quick.
But my goodness, if she pointed it at the cops for even a moment, she easily could have been shot and killed by self-defense by the police officers.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, this sounds like we're always hearing about cops who are out of control. This sounds like cops who showed remarkable restraint if she pointed the gun
Absolutely.
At them for a moment. Wow. Well, that's an important part of the story to get out there, too.
I'm very thankful for the Pierce County Police and Sheriff's Department.
Wow. Wow. So tell me, Matthew, we only have a minute or so left here, but after you, the adrenaline rush has ended, the moment is over, an hour later, 5 hours later, whenever, when you reflect back on what you went through, on what would have been just another June Friday morning, what are the emotions like?
It hit me all at once. I'm very thankful that I'm here. We might not be talking right now if it wasn't the way that it had gone about, you know, with him firing and all that. And, you know, the biggest thing is that my daughter's okay.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that, you know, I really cared about. That anything could have happened to me, but for her, that's all that matters.
Did you have one of those moments, especially yesterday morning on Father's Day?
Yes, I did. We hung out and snuggled all day.
Yeah, I bet
she didn't leave my side.
I bet you did, man. Well, that's I'm so glad. And I heard you're getting out of here now because of this.
I am moving. Yeah, there's a GoFundMe on my page. Okay. Yep, I got to get out of Parkland. It's just not a safe place for me and my daughter anymore.
I understand. Well, God bless you, your daughter, your family, and I know it could have been a lot worse, but I'm sure sorry for what you had to go through on Friday morning.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
It's really good talk with you, Matthew. Stay in touch, okay?
You too. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
Okay. Matthew Phillips, a Parkland father who was shot in the mouth on Friday morning, but was able to save himself, save his daughter, and nice restraint by the Pierce County Sheriff's deputies, it sounds like, too. Love to hear your thoughts on all this. You can text us, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. I saw gas $5.89 a gallon yesterday. It's up over $6 a gallon in much of our state. Highest it's ever been nationwide. And it's all because of Joe Biden or the people who are pulling Joe's puppet strings. We're going to talk, by the way, what a metaphor that was when Joe Biden fell off his bike over the weekend, went crashing to the ground. It was like watching America in 9 seconds there. But this morning, a reporter tried to ask him about inflation and the possibility, which might even be a likelihood, of a recession.
I promise.
Recession's even more likely than ever.
Not the majority of them aren't saying that. Come on, don't make things up, okay? Now you sound like a Republican politician. I'm joking. That was a joke. That was a joke. But all kidding aside, no, I don't think it is.
I'm joking. That was a joke. All kidding aside. Hey, this is the guy who's going to remember when 81 million people voted for him, it was because Joe was going to bring the country together. Now when a reporter asks him about a recession, you sound like a Republican. Oh, really? Is that an epithet now? thought you were going to bring us together, Joe. Oh, I'm joking. Well, kidding aside. Then on the East Coast right now, there are trucks, hundreds, maybe thousands of trucks stranded by the side of the road because they are out of gas. And at the truck stops, they're out of diesel. Right now, the people that Joe Biden has assembled to be our energy secretary and our transportation, Pete Buttigieg. Oh, yeah, what a what a brainiac that guy is. Our energy secretary, our transportation secretary, they're out of diesel in many places on the East Coast, and trucks are stranded by the side of the road. You know what this is going to do to inflation in America when this starts trickling down?
Yo, check this out. I know y'all been hearing this on the West Coast, but this is going on the East Coast. I've been stuck on this overpass since yesterday. Gloves over there out of fuel. Pilot over here out of fuel. All these trucks here waiting. Nobody can get fuel. This guy's out of fuel. These guys are lucky. They got some fuel. Luckily, I got a hold of a farmhand out here that's going to sell me 50 gallons of red just so I can get the truck back and park the everywhere I
want. He's got quite the mouth on him. But you understand the frustration. You know, our truckers, this is the heart and soul of America. Our truckers are the people who move every good to the marketplace. And when they're out of gas and when they're paying $7 a gallon for diesel, that has great upward pressure on inflation. And so, no, I don't blame them for being a little on edge, especially when we have people like Secretary Yellen in Biden's cabinet who say, oh, we haven't affected gas prices at all.
I don't think that policies are responsible for what's happening in the oil market. Consumption of gas and fuels are currently at lower levels than pre-pandemic. And what's happened is that production has gone down. Refinery capacity has declined in the United States, and oil production has declined.
Okay, yeah, well, refineries and oil production have declined in the United States because Joe Biden declared war on the oil industry. Of course he's responsible for this. I told you last week, I played you the audio, a one-minute montage of Joe Biden swearing that he was going to kill the energy industry. So can we please stop with this fantasy that this is Putin's fault? When Joe Biden said he was going to do it, he swore that he would destroy the oil industry, and now he's gone out and he's destroyed the oil industry. And it is having an absolutely disastrous effect on America's economy, and more importantly, on the economy in your family. 81 million people voted for the man. That's weird. Okay, we're going to check the news for you here at the top of the hour. And then in the fastest 15, go woke, go broke. Got a national and a local example of how that's working next.